adds a little different too. He says your conscience is part of your soul. And he also says your spirit, soul, and body, your soul is more like your personality. And this is, I just read this recently, so this is what I'll speak. He was saying, and I truly believe it, that your heart is made of your soul and your spirit. And that's part that goes to heaven, but the part that actually is recreated in Christ Jesus is your spirit. So your spirit never sins, but your soul can, and your body does. But that's the answer. When you look, and this is what he was getting at, the Word of God is, you can physically relate to things, you can soulishly relate to things, mm-hmm. but you cannot look at your spirit and see that spirit and the result of it. That's why people, when they don't know the difference, will look and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they'll say, I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me today. I don't see that. You know, we're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So it's very, very, very important to look at the mirror of God, which is the Word of God, and it tells you who you are in your spirit. And because it tells you who you are in your spirit, because you're relating, it, when it gets into your soul, and your soul makes the right decisions to believe. After you're born again, he says, all it is believing and releasing. Believing and releasing. But you've got to believe what the Word of God says. And if you don't understand, if you think your soul is your spirit, you can get totally confused. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important to look at the mirror all the time to see who you are in Christ Jesus.
Wow. Okay. God, we know that you are always with us. I'm not asking you to be with us because you said you never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
And Father, we do thank you, Lord, for each student today, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to life each student today. You're going to blaze their hearts and set it on fire today. You're going to awake them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the teacher of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for you, for being our Heavenly Father, for giving us what we need. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Let's turn to chapter 5, page 81, and that chapter, the 7 offices of the Holy Spirit, heaven's divine administrator on earth. You know, often you hear me tell you that the Holy Spirit is our administrator of our inheritance.
Amen.
And he is. That's the reason we really should get to know him. That's the reason we should not lean to our own understanding. That's the reason we should let him control us.
Amen.
He'll get us to that place where Jesus said he wanted to take each individual believer. He said, I came that you, he told us why the enemy came. He said, but I have come that you may have life, and not only life, but life more abundantly. And this is where Holy Spirit, he knew Holy Spirit was coming to bring us to that abundant life, that abundant living. Holy Spirit is doing so much inside of us.
Yes.
He's even working inside of us while we're sleeping.
Yeah.
Because he never sleep nor slumber. He don't even slumber. He don't even take a little nap or even a little. He's never doing any of that. Of course, we do. But he don't. Because he's working inside of us, helping us to be more like Christ.
Ooh, glory, hallelujah.
Like Mary said, that soul, he's working on that soul and that mind that we can be more like Christ.
Amen.
That Christ will be formed in us.
Yes.
That we can operate and do those things that Christ said, the things you see me do.
Ooh, glory.
And greater things than thee.
Amen.
Because I go to the Father. If he goes to the Father, he knew somebody else was coming. That was going to be in all of us.
Amen.
That's going to help us. Don't try to figure out, well, how in the world? I hear people having that discussion. How in the world are we going to do greater than Jesus? We're not greater than our master. Well, he's in you.
Amen.
He's in you. And the greater of those works are saving souls.
Yes. Yes.
That's the work we're going to do. That's the greater. It's the saving of a soul. You know, Jesus said it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's how he get pleasure. We get pleasure in many different ways, going on trips, doing this. We have ways of, you know, or reading a book or just walking, you know, give us pleasure. But what gives him pleasure? When he gives us the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, he has given you the kingdom, but he know you don't know how to quite operate the kingdom. So he gives you an administrator, the Holy Spirit, to help you. See, the kingdom has to be unlocked. The church has to be built. He said, upon this rock I build my church. But the kingdom has to be unlocked. If you don't know how to unlock and lock the kingdom, you won't get what's in the kingdom. You have to learn how to unlock it. Praise God. And so the Holy Spirit has come to help us to unlock the kingdom. He's given us the keys to unlock it. Well, it's just not knowledge, but it's revelatory knowledge. Amen. It's revelation knowledge that unlocks the kingdom. So the Holy Spirit has, he's doing so much in us and through us, the work he's doing in us. You know, we said that there are seven offices of the Holy Spirit. And the writer of this book said the offices he holds, the administrative office, is somewhat like the president of the United States, foreseeing over every area of the kingdom and the church and the bride. He's doing a job that only he can do. Now, what is our response to all that that we're going to talk about today that he's doing? What is our response? Our response should be, I present my body, what Romans 12 and 1 said. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Presenting your bodies, all your member factors. You're presenting it to God. That's cooperating with the Holy Spirit. That's yielding to the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is really trying to bring us into is fellowship. Relation and fellowship is different. You can have a relationship, but no real fellowship. Holy Spirit is trying to bring us into that fellowship. And what we're going to do is out of fellowship. The works, the things that we're going to do is out of fellowship. Now, we're going to name these seven offices. But in your first part, we're only going to discuss the four. And then the next chapter, chapter six, we'll get the other three. Mary, you had your hand up.
No, I was just...
Okay.
I know you start raising my hands and just blurting my mouth.
Y'all are welcome to. The spirit of life is the first one. The next one is the spirit of truth. And the next one is the spirit of adoption. Whoa. And the last one, but not the least one, the spirit of holiness. That's the four we're going to study. Now, in the other chapter, chapter 6, the three would be the spirit of grace, the spirit of glory, and the spirit of supplication. That makes seven offices that the Holy Spirit is working in the believers. His function in the seven different spheres of service that we call offices. How he's working in our life to make us more like Jesus. Now, the first four, as you see, the Holy Spirit working in our lives. You know what? If we don't yield to him, he can't do as much as it grieves him to have so much to give his people, and they don't reach out to get it. It grieves you with a child you may be raising or your own child. And you got so much, and you know, to do for them, you got so, and then they like, you know, kind of resist what you want to do. So we're not going to resist tonight. We're going to talk about the spirit of life. How the Holy Spirit works. That's the first one. I'm going to get right into it because I'm going to tell you this before I end this lesson on these four offices that the Holy Spirit is working in us. He's working these in there to make us become just like Christ. Now, what is our takeaway from this? I'm going to tell you our takeaway first. I think I'm kind of teaching like Jesus today, I guess. Because he always tells you the end from the beginning. Your takeaway today is going to be not how much of Holy Spirit I can get, but how much of me I can give to Holy Spirit. Oh, how much of me can I give to him?
Yeah.
And you can't beat him giving, because he definitely going to give so much to you, because he got so much. And I like, the first one is, I'm going to have to really dive into it because it's a lot I want to say through the spirit of adoption. The spirit of life. Let's read Romans 8 and 2, 10 and 11. It says, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." You know, Holy Spirit is interested in our spirit, soul, and body. The total man. Not just the spirit.
Right.
Some people get it mixed up and they just say, "Oh, he just, you know, concerned about my spirit." But he's concerned about your spirit, soul, and body. So those kind of people, they kind of live any kind of way they want to live because they think he's only concerned about your spirit. And they don't make that connection that he wants you to live right. He wants you to talk right. He wants to life you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the one that life you. He said, if the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, he quickened your mortal body. Make your mortal body alive. Sometimes I just be talking to the Holy Spirit, quicken this body. Quicken it. Make it alive. Quicken it. Because sometimes this body want to do what it wants to do. But you have to give that over to the Holy Spirit. And let him make that body alive. Those members alive. Okay, let's go to the Holy Spirit take the living seed of the word. And he impregnates our spirits with the life of Christ. This is what Paul declared as Christ in you. You know, he said, Paul was always making this statement that it's the Christ in me. He's my hope of glory. He always was talking about the Christ in him. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God wanted to reveal himself to man, how did he do it? He did it through a human, Jesus. But when Jesus wanted to reveal himself to man, how did he do it? He did it through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is doing a work in this age that we cannot afford to have our lamp empty. We should keep it full. That's what was wrong with the 10 virgins. 5 was wise and 5 was foolish. They didn't have no oil in their lamp. And oil represents the Holy Spirit. So we must keep that oil in our lamp and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do to life us. The Holy Spirit will life your body, your mind, the mind. You know, the scripture didn't say we'll get the mind. He said we have the mind of Christ. We have it. Now, what you going to do? Are you going to yield to it? Are you going to keep, get it renewed, work with the Holy Spirit? Because we have the mind of Christ. We ain't trying to get it. We have it in us. And the number one thing, when we're talking about the life of the Spirit, many things I could say about it, but because of time, this is one thing I want to say about life of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit want to live in you.
Amen.
He said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The Spirit, God wants to control and live in you. Yeah, that's exactly what he wants to do. Our life yield to him, it would make living the life it's so much easier when you yield to him, when you let him live.
Maybe it's lived through us.
Yes, he wants to live. He came to live in us. Mm-hmm. That's the reason he came. To life us.
Yeah.
To live in us.
Yeah.
But see, sometimes he's dormant in the people of God. They want to live. No, I'm not ready for the. I want, it's, see this, I had one saint that said, this is just me. This is just the way I am. No, baby, you're a new creature in Christ. The Spirit want to live in you.
Yes.
She said, well, I hadn't thought about that. All I ever thought about was me. But the Holy Spirit came to live in you. The Spirit of life, to give you Christ's life. That we can just look just like Christ.
Amen.
I mean, it'd be hard to not identify. See, we're still doing the ministry of Christ. The body is still doing the ministry of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes to what? To life us.
Amen.
Okay? The Spirit of truth. What does the... I'm going to jump over to the Spirit of adoption because of time. Then I go back to the Spirit of truth. Because we hear a lot about the Spirit of truth. We're always, you know, talking about the Spirit of truth. But let's go to the Spirit of adoption because I want to spend a little time here. How one of the offices he uses, the Spirit of adoption. But ye have not received the Spirit. This is Romans 8:15-16. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, when we think of adoption in the Western world, we think of it, and it's no way that way in the spirit world. And the spirit world is different than what we think about in our culture. In our culture, adoption means that you go, you may adopt a child, you know, at any age, a child, and then you bring them into your environment, you give them your name, and you do all the wonderful things you may do for them. But one thing you can't do is change their bloodline. You can do so many good things for them, but you cannot change their bloodline. But the spirit of adoption is quite different from that. It changes our bloodline. We get the bloodline of Jesus. And he's not, adoption is so different in the spirit realm, what he's trying to say. See, the reason it's so different because the new birth give us to be children of God. We're not orphans, we're not up for adoption. We are children of God. So he's not trying to get us through adoption that way. what he's, I'm just going to, I'm real close to time, so what I'm going to do is just kind of package it a little bit. What he's trying to do is bring us to maturity so that we can take over the Father's business. That's what adoption is. That it will bring you to maturity. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do for us. Bring us to that maturity that it can be declared. Let's go back to Jesus' water baptism. Most people doesn't know what God was really doing there with his son. He was making a declaration of the spirit of adoption. He said, "This is my son in whom I well please." Well, this was his son when he came into the world. But what he's saying here, this is my mature son, one that can take over the business, one that I can send out in the ministry now, one that I can trust to do the work that he was sent. And the Holy Spirit helped him with that, because Luke 2 and 52 said Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. The wisdom mean he grew spiritually. The stature mean he grew physically. Favor with God and man. Jesus had to grow up. He just didn't come in the world able to take over the Father's business. When he came in the world, he came in as a child. Isaiah told us that. He said, "Unto us a child is born, but the Son is given," which is much different. He said the Son is a wills. They call it wills when they come mature enough. When they have, when Jesus was growing in wisdom, that's about all they told us about his growing up part. When he was growing in wisdom, wisdom is the word of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. He was growing in that. And he came and at the water baptism, we see the spirit of adoption there. He said, "This is my beloved son." Well, he just didn't get to be his beloved son. And whom I'm well pleased. He was his son when he was born. But he was his mature son there. And he was saying he's ready to start his ministry. Jesus hadn't done no miracle when he proclaimed that. He was proclaiming adoption. Even at the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved son. This is one that is mature enough to do the work that I've sent him to do." Jesus said he grew and he learned obedience in the things he did. So he was our example. One of the things the Holy Spirit works in the spirit of adoption is trying to get us to maturity. He even gave us a fivefold ministry. He says, "That's the reason I'm giving you the fivefold ministry too." The fivefold ministry is helping, bringing us. But if the fivefold ministry is not leaning and relying on the Holy Spirit, they can't bring you to maturity. And then the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, he's bringing you to maturity. When he said those that are led by the sons of God, those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. He was talking about they are the mature sons of God. It's different. And let me tell you, you cannot really receive your inheritance. I want to read. If I had would you give me 2 minutes, Apostle? Because I want to read from Galatians that tells us that we can't receive our inheritance until we mature.
That's what I saw yesterday.
He said you cannot receive your inheritance. Galatians 4, 1 through 2. Let's just read that. I just want you to know what is being said there. Let's just read it. Galatians 4, 1 through 2. Galatians 4, 2 through, let's go to 2 for the sake of time. Now, we're going to have to start at 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. See, that time of baptism was appointed of the Father when he told that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, it said, but the third verse, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba. Wherefore there are no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then heir of God through Christ. When you can allow the Holy Spirit to mature you, can grow you up to mature you, so that you can take, because you can't give a child, nobody in here, Brother Thurston wouldn't give his daughter, said $20,000 and tell her, you know, hey, go. She's a child. She probably end up at the store buying a bunch of candy, this and that. But the Holy Spirit is constantly in us, along with the fivefold ministry, maturing us, bringing us to this place of maturity so that we can receive our inheritance. How many want all the... I don't want to go to heaven and looking back and saying, I didn't get my inheritance. I didn't get my, you know, I didn't get all that, you know. You want to grow up. And I believe we're growing up. We're receiving our inheritance. And not only does he want you to receive your inheritance, he wants you to reign with him and be over things. Just like he gave it to Jesus. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I can just give him, put him over the Father business now. He's mature. He has grown in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Amen. Put your hand was up, Apostle.
I was just saying, the comments you made earlier, I saw that in spirit yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So we just let the Holy Spirit grow us up, mature us. And not only talking about our inheritance, but it says the whole earth is waiting on the sons of God, the weos ones, those mature ones, those that have grown up and that can handle the Father business. You know, when I read in the New Testament and Jesus dealt with his disciples, I was like, Lord have mercy. Is he going to leave them? And he was telling them, I'm going to leave y'all. And, you know, when you read, you're like, Lord have mercy, you can't leave them boys. He said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave. I can't trust y'all by yourself. He couldn't trust them by himself. And so he said, I'm going to send a comforter, one just like me. Because I know y'all boys need help. He couldn't leave them by themselves. And we see on the day of Pentecost and see how they continue to grow and to maintain. You either saw them going to a prayer meeting or coming from a prayer meeting. They knew how to maintain that what God had put them over. They knew what they had to do. Sister Mary?
Okay. Notice in 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth, doesn't say the Holy Spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit, but he calls the Spirit of his Son. To me, that gives a very deep meaning of sonship.
Yeah.
He actually calls it the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out of the Father. So his Son, Jesus, and we are sons. So to me, that's a deeper interpretation of the Holy Spirit there.
Uh-huh.
Because why did he choose the word Spirit of his Son?
Uh-huh.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. That is
that
so true.
That should be a deeper understanding that I am a son of God just like Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes, you are.
He said the Holy Spirit that's part of that, all the Holy Spirit, but also specifically, because they're all intertwined, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he actually vocalized that as he sent the Spirit of his Son.
Amen.
That makes me a deeper son, to me, a knowledge of a deeper sonship.
It is. It's a deeper
Because he calls the Spirit of his Son. You see that?
Yes, he does. And that is so important to realize and to recognize that. And we see adoption is quite different from what we think of adoption.